The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
The Oddity News. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the latest edition of the Oddity News. My name is Dave Wirtz, and as always, with me today is my co-host, Bob Apple, also known as PC Tunney. Tunney, how are we doing today?
Just floating along, you know, bobbing my way into the week.
Yeah, just bobbing along is really, really what you're doing. Okay, I get it. You got like a nice funk to you, a nice pep into your step.
I'm just trying to play along.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. Yes, I mean it's been a good week for myself. I got a new phone yesterday.
Oh.
That always gets me pumped up.
Are you an Android guy or an iPhone guy?
I am an iPhone individual.
I should know that. I knew that. Texting you, I knew that. It would have been green otherwise.
Well, it is green. It would have been blue otherwise.
No, you said you're an iPhone guy.
Yeah, don't we have blue? I think you have. Oh, it is blue. Never mind.
I'm an
My
iPhone
bad.
Guy.
I thought you had the
Android.
The Android.
No.
No, like I would be. Like with it, but honestly, I hate the interface. Like the Samsung's interface is just kind of a pain in the ass to me. I hate like every time I go to like try to hit the home button and I don't know, it bugs me. It bugs me. Okay, that's all you need to know.
That's fine. We're on the same page, man.
All right, well, let's get into this latest week of news stories, because I don't know about you, Tunney. I have some wonderful stories for sharing. Let's get right into it. First up, a New Zealand food bank is in some hot water after a charity working for homeless people in Auckland unknowingly distributed candies filled with a potentially lethal dose of methamphetamine in its food parcels after the sweets were donated by a member of the public. Auckland City Mission on Wednesday said that staff had started to contact up to 400 people to track down parcels that could contain the sweets, which were solid blocks of methamphetamine enclosed in candy wrappers. Three people have already been treated in hospitals after consuming these sweets, New Zealand authorities said, but they have been discharged. The amount of methamphetamine in each candy was up to 300 times the level someone would usually take and could be lethal, according to the New Zealand Drug Foundation, a drug checking and police policy organization, which has been testing these candies for many years. Ben Burks, of the foundation spokesperson, said that disguising drugs as innocuous goods was a common cross-border smuggling technique, and more of the candies might have been distributed throughout New Zealand. The sweets had a high street value of around $608 per candy. That's in American dollars, not New Zealand dollars, whatever that equates to. But it has been suggested the donation by an unknown member of the public was accidental rather than a deliberate attack. Tunny, are you looking to get wild?
I mean, I usually take 100 times the amount of meth a normal person would take, so 300 would be crazy.
I mean, that just has to be a just pure methamphetamine then, right?
I couldn't tell you, to be honest. I've never done meth.
Oh, I want to know, for the three people that have been hospitalized, did they like stick it in their mouth and be like, ew, what is that? Ooh, it's pretty good. Yeah, like, and then just kept going?
I don't know, man. I think, you'd have to feel like you'd taste something was off, right?
It would not taste like candy. I've never done meth myself, but I feel fairly confident that it's not just going to taste like pure cane sugar here.
Yeah, unless you got some Breaking Bad formula going on over there, the mad scientist, you know, in the camper with all his clothes off.
We already saw Breaking Bad in the Olympics with Australia. Oh. We don't need to.
That was horrible. That was absolutely horrible.
Oh God!
Shout out
Sorry,
to
that. Was, you set me up. You set me up so perfectly for that.
Yeah. Shout out to Ray Gun.
All right. Yeah. So I guess be on the lookout for meth candy.
All right. How about some more shock? Are you ready? Shock! Pennsylvania game displays living prize along with stuffed animals for kids. Employees at a miniature golf course in Duncanville, Pennsylvania, were met with an unusual sight after they noticed that a prize was moving inside a claw machine at the Meadows Family Fun Mini Golf venue. Animal officials were called to the scene when the mini golf course workers found not a stuffed animal, but a living one. Officials at the Pennsylvania Game Commission shared the discovery on Instagram, posting photos of a woodland creature. The officials shared images of a groundhog hiding in between the stuffed prizes inside the machine. State Game Warden Salvador Zafuto was sent to investigate and help remove the stuck groundhog, according to the post. Groundhogs live near rocky outcrops from valley bottoms to alpine tundra, but they avoid dense forest. The lowland animals are surprisingly quick and are good tree climbers. Upon approach of the machine to investigate, not to play, Zafuto saw the stuffed animals move and the groundhog then popped its head out amongst the prizes. Officials called the vending machine company to unlock the machine and safely remove the woodchuck back into its habitat unharmed. Officials joked that next time they hoped the groundhog would just play the game with the tokens and not try to cheat to win the prize.
I did see the picture of that and it was quite wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty adorable considering no one got hurt and the animal got returned safely to its habitat. But I don't know, you're a dad, you know, you have a kid. How would you feel if you guys were playing the
Yes, I have kid. I have kid.
I was going to say kids, but you only have one kid, right?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
I had to stop myself there. But what if you and her were, like, say we went to the movies again, like we had the big group that one time, and we came early, and we're over there playing the claw machine, and she looks at you and says, Dad, something's moving in there.
I don't know what I would do. I'd probably break the glass. Because I'm a very big animal, like, safety person, so I would try to get that thing out fast.
What if she wanted to keep it as a pet?
I don't know. I mean, I just had a squirrel. I literally have a pet squirrel.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, it wouldn't be the furthest thing, but yeah, that's just me. What can I say? You gonna have a squirrel?
I got two cats, so a squirrel probably wouldn't work out so well.
That's fair. That's fair.
What you got next, Dave?
All right. A marathon swimmer says he has quit his Lake Michigan swim after going in the wrong direction with a dead GPS. A man attempting an epic 80-mile swim across Lake Michigan said he gave up on the third day after losing two batteries for a critical GPS device and ended up badly off course. Jim Dreyer was pulled from the water last Thursday after 60 miles. He said he had been swimming from Michigan to Wisconsin for hours without a GPS, relying only on a wrist compass and his reading of the sky and waves, like, you know, an old classic tracker would do. A support boat pulled up and informed him that he had been swimming north all day. The wrong direction, said Dreyer, who had left Grand Haven on Tuesday. What a blow, he said in a report that he posted online. I should have been in the home stretch, well into Wisconsin waters, with about 23 miles to go. Instead, I had 47 miles to go, and the weather window would soon close. Dreyer said his brain was mush, and he was having hallucinations about a steel wall stuck my hand right through it, and cargo ships as well. He figured he would need a few more days to reach Milwaukee, but there was a forecast of 9-foot waves. So Dreyer did say, we all knew that success was now a long shot and the need for rescue was likely if I continued. I will say Dreyer is 60 years old and he swam 60 miles. So at least it was a nice round number.
So I have more to add to this story. I heard this on our local morning radio show. I'll shout them out. Bob and Brian here in the mornings, the most popular morning radio show in Southeast Wisconsin. And I learned that, so he's been trying to do this the past few years, but he's always been swimming east from Wisconsin to Michigan. This time he tried to do it the other way. But he has actually accomplished this feat back in the late 90s. So I think he's trying to reclaim some old glory. But if there's a couple really good movies out about stuff like this right now. The Young Woman in the Sea is on Disney, I think, and that's about a lady swimming the English Channel. And an even better one, in my opinion, it's called Naiad. It's with Annette Bening and Jodie Foster, and it's about a lady who tries to swim from Cuba to Florida. So check those out if you're interested in these marathon swims. But my biggest question is, why'd they wait so long to tell him he was swimming north?
I mean, why does he have to be the one to guide? Can't, like, the boats help him? He's still swimming across Lake Michigan.
Yeah.
Like, you're just going to watch him. Hey, we're going a little north here.
How long do you think he's going to keep going north? Should we tell him?
Yeah. Dumbass. Like, yeah. I don't know. It just seems a little bit rude to kind of make him swim that by himself.
I wonder how many more...
He's 60 years old!
Right. Well, he's done it before. I wonder how many tries he keeps giving it. I mean, maybe it's just in him. He wants to get accomplished one more time. So, folks, if you stick around for 52-ish more weeks, we'll have this story for you next summer.
52-ish more years, maybe. If he's 60 and he's still swimming.
The Oddity 059 will feature his story next summer.
Hell yeah.
Bad neighbors, Dave. You want to hear about it?
Oh, I do.
My neighbor kept stealing my potted plants, so I stole something more important. A man has been praised for getting sweet revenge on his nuisance neighbors who would steal belongings from his outside his house when they returned home drunk, thinking it was hilarious. A man got the last laugh on his nuisance neighbors who would steal little items from him outside his house. His friend shared how the neighbors would return home drunk and would steal potted plants, bins, benches, and other garden furniture, thinking it was funny. Annoyed, the man decided to get his own back. Sharing the story on Reddit, the man's friend said, "A friend of mine had issues with one of his neighbors. After many times of leaving fence panels up and taking back the items that they took, he got annoyed with the balls on them and the lack of any real police response. Middle of the summer, they had a habit of having parties with loud music till all hours and generally scum roaming around the local area causing trouble. My mate had been nipped home before his break. Yeah, this is obviously another country. And noticed that the front door was open and one of the parties was going on in the rear of the house. With that, the man came up with a plan to get sweet revenge, showing them what it's like to have your belongings taken away from you. The user added, at that time he worked as a day laborer for an independent carpenter. A plan was hatched. They opened the rear doors of their plain white van. He ran over with an impact driver, proceeded to remove the screws from the hinges and steal the door and throw it in the van and drive off. Plan accomplished. They dumped the door in an on-site construction site. When he returned that evening, the door was still missing, was replaced the next morning with a pallet with a mattress stuck behind it. Eventually, someone probably stole a piece of chipboard, and that was screwed in place. Impressed by his revenge, one user joked, can't knock the ingenuity of this. Another user added, no more knock-knock jokes for them. And a third, you have opened new doors of opportunities for revenge. This is truly unhinged. I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
So, my neighbor, who's currently my neighbor, when he first moved in, they have a flagpole in their front yard, and he decided that he wanted to shine a light on it at night, and I am all for that. But this light was positioned in a way that it would shine directly into my bedroom. After asking nicely, and then not so nicely, you know those ray guns that you can put in the ground that shoot the lights all over your house during Christmas?
Oh, yeah.
So I have four of them. So I stuck them in my yard and pointed them at his house. And I knocked on the door and I said, if that light shines in my house tonight, these shine on yours all night too. Guess what happened?
You had a much higher energy bill?
My neighbor moved the light.
Oh, okay, good.
All right, should we take our commercial break here and come back with some more fun?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, you're listening to The Oddity right here on ChairShot Radio Network, a part of the ChairShot.com, where we remind you to always use your head.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
And don't forget about ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. Back to The Oddity with myself, PC Tunney, and Dave Wirtz.
Wonderful. Thank you, Tunney. There is controversy in the Russian Chess League after a Russian chess player, Amina Abakarova, has been disqualified for attempting to poison her opponent during the Dagestan Championship, according to Sazidov. Holy hell. I almost got through it.
This is one of my favorite things, honestly, is just reading some of this names and different like phrases for different countries.
Look, I practiced. You saw how fast I got to Abakarova.
I hear you.
Look, S-A-Z-H-I-D. There's a lot going on.
A lot of consonants.
Official reports indicate that Abakarova contaminated the chess table of her opponent with mercury before her match against Umanganat Osmanova. There it is. Damn it. During the game, the European champion began to feel unwell, prompting the intervention of medical personnel. The match was halted, but fortunately, no one else was harmed. Sazidov expressed his shock and stating, like many, I am bewildered by what has happened. The motives behind the actions of such an experienced athlete as Abakarova are incomprehensible to me. Her actions could have resulted in a tragic outcome, endangering the lives of everyone in the chess room. Andriy Filatov, president of the Russian Chess Federation, announced that Abakarova has been suspended from all competitions under the organization's jurisdiction, pending criminal proceedings against her. Yeah, look, we had scandal last year in the chess world when it came to anal beads, and now we've got more. Oh, you didn't hear about that one? Big time, like number one chess player in the world. Was accused of having items that would vibrate, letting him know whether that was the right move. Or I believe it was either him or his opponent. I think it might have been his opponent. I don't remember. Honestly, the less I think about anal beads, the better.
Say it again.
But now...
Say it again. Say it again.
The less I think of anal beads,
the better. Anal beads.
Go ahead. You can clip that. You can clip that for yourself. Play that at your next Bandwagon Nerds podcast recording.
That one's going to go right up there with... Here, I got to play it now. Where the fuck is it? Oh, we got to go over to this one. Don't worry, folks. It's worth it.
I butt chug salt water all the time.
You could probably play those back to back in whichever order you'd like, and it makes sense.
No, you can't really butt chug blue cheese. You know, the alliteration's nice, but it don't work.
There it is.
I guess, they always say, everyone else is playing checkers and that person's playing chess. Well, I guess everyone they know is going to continue to play chess, and they're going to have to go up and play checkers.
They're gonna play murder.
Hey. All right. How do you feel about mayonnaise?
Is it Drake May related? Because that's all I care about.
It is not. Smell like greatness. Titans QB Will Levis unveils mayo-inspired cologne. Some people love mayonnaise, some people loathe it. But does anyone want to smell like it? That sound you heard was Tennessee Titans quarterback Will Levis putting his hand up and waving it wildly in the air. Levis first became infamous for his love of the spread when it was revealed that before the draft of 2023 that he puts it in, do you know?
His coffee.
His morning coffee. Ring the bell for Dave Wirtz. We got a bell, folks.
Yeah, I meant Will Levis, not Drake May. I got my very white quarterbacks mixed up.
However, he later revealed that it was a joke shortly after being drafted by the Titans. Nah, that's just a stupid thing. I did that. I thought it was funny. I don't actually do it. I'm a one cream, one sugar type of guy. But Levis remains synonymous with the condiment, so much that Hellman's has taken advantage and the QB is now the face of its mayonnaise. In an ad released on social media on Tuesday, the world's first Parfum de Mayonnaise is now available. Comes in a 30-milliliter Hellman's jar and is aptly named after the football player and his jersey number, Will Levis, number 8. Luscious, eggy, smells like greatness. I'm all for putting it on my sandwich. Even on a burger, I like Burger King puts the mayo on the top of the bun and everything. That I'm fine with, but I don't want to smell like it.
No, I'm good. I also use it in my mac and cheese for any of you who are looking to take a very fat dish and make it even more fattening.
Would you like to hear my egg hack?
Sure.
Okay, for easy, cheesy egg souffle, take your Pyrex measuring cup, clear, right? You get a little bit of olive oil in there, and then you get the cheese to stick to the side, a drop of mayo, 2 eggs, swirl it up like you're making scrambled eggs, throw it in the microwave for 99 seconds, the most beautiful cheesy egg souffle you've ever seen.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights. We can't let Marino take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
There you have it, folks. One Paula Deen Tunney.
Y'all come back now, you hear?
More butter, more butter. The hand motions is really what sold it. Let me just tell you.
Thank you.
The Ontario Premier, aka the president, tells residents, stop pooping on the beach. Ontario Premier Doug Ford made a request of the province's citizens. Folks, don't be pooping on the beach. Ford, speaking to the reporters in Mississauga on Wednesday, was asked about rumors on social media that visitors to Wasaga Beach have been using tents to hide the fact that they are defecating into holes in the sand. Folks, don't be pooping on the beach. It's as simple as that, the Toronto Star quoted Ford as saying. Ford pointed out that the province had recently given the town of Wasaga Beach more than $700,000 to build new bathrooms on said beach. I have no proof that people are pooping in the park per se, but it's pretty bad if they are, Ford said. Wasaga Beach Mayor Brian Smith more forcefully denied the allegations last month, saying the rumors, quote, lack evidence and promote misinformation. The town has received no evidence from residents, visitors, or the Ontario government to verify that any undesirable, unsanitary behavior has occurred on the beach areas that make up Wasaga Beach Provincial Park, Smith said. So, don't go to Wasaga Beach, Ontario, and expect to be allowed to poop on a beach.
As of right now, for the next few weeks, maybe months, maybe until next beach season, I would try to avoid being buried alive in the sand with just your head sticking up. I can also see kids making really shitty sandcastles.
Hey, I don't know. There's a nice binding there. Some people use poop. Some people use mayo.
I don't think we're coming out with a poop perfume.
I bet you there's a poop perfume.
Well, there's probably poop spray and stuff. All right, here, I'll go with this one. I bet you no one puts poop in their coffee.
Actually, the most expensive coffee in the world is made from cat feces.
You learn something new every day, especially right
now. Yeah,
here.
See, that's what the oddity does, people. That's what we do here. Now, Tony, I was informed that you have another one of our Wayback Machine stories.
I do, but as we've been sitting here, what you have, I think we should do it now because it's more time sensitive.
Oh.
Do you agree?
Okay, then.
Do you agree?
Yeah. Yes, I can do that. Absolutely. I was just trying to be... let's try to be kind. Okay, let me go and pull up the thing because I closed it out.
You look for that, and I'll give my last story. How's that sound?
Sounds great.
All right. Bear breaks into California classroom while teacher named Salmon preps for school year. The bear really likes salmon. just so you know. Early August, the teacher named Elaine Salmon was preparing her classroom at Peak to Peak Elementary School, located an hour south of our good friend Dave in Bakersfield, California, when she briefly left the space unattended to make some copies. Those moments away were enough time for a bear to find its way into Salmon's classroom. Salmon, who teaches 3rd through 5th grade, according to the school's website, returned to the room and saw the bear running towards her. She closed the classroom door, locking her cell phone inside with the bear. I went over, went back to the office, closed the door, locked the bear in there, and then I went back to the office to call my husband, Ian. Ian Salmon. My first thought was, is it going to do any damage? I have a brand new floor, and I have already have my decorations up. Luckily, the bear only got into one of the classroom's earthquake emergency kits. The teacher told KERO that the school, which happened to be called Home of the Bears, has never had an incident with bears while students were around. When in session, the school has safety measures against curious bears. Salmon went to an office and called her husband, Ian, to ask for help removing the bear from her classroom. Upon arrival, Ian banged on the door and windows, capturing the bear's attention. Once the bear noticed them, Ian opened the classroom door to allow the bear to exit. The bear ran out of the classroom, through the open doors, and back into the woods. Both salmons were not harmed during the incident.
Yay! That's all we really needed to know.
I would not like to ever encounter a bear.
Well, something you would also never like to do is go and see the Borderlands movie. As many of you have probably heard, this is getting absolutely crucified across pretty much everything. So, you know, as we have done for the past couple of weeks, I think it's apropos to read a one-star review of Borderlands. This is written by Carlos Aguilar of the LA Times. In director Eli Roth's atrociously uninspired sci-fi fantasy escapade Borderlands, Claptrack, an acerbic droid voiced by Jack Black, calls to mind the humor of Mystery Science Theater 3000, the parody TV show in which a group of sentient robots comment on unintentionally risible B-movies. Black's similarly acid quips, aimed at the story's pack of misfit protagonists searching for, quote, keys to open an ancient trove of knowledge, are the only morsels of discernible entertainment in this stillborn adaptation of the first-person shooter video game, tolerable only in brief instances. An insipid mishmash of trite genre tropes, Borderlands is devoid of any real edge, and at every turn it comes off desperate to tap into the corporate-approved cynicism that has helped, quote, the Suicide Squad and more recently Deadpool and Wolverine seem cool, but with a PG rating. And some of the worst, not even trying writing of any theatrically released production this year, let alone the past 5 years. Borderlands feels like an especially boring ride through a barren landscape. It goes from one destination to another, but there's little excitement to be found on the road. Despite the exposition that Lilith, played by Cate Blanchett, a planet-hopping bounty hunter, spills through the dull adventure, those unfamiliar with the source material still might find themselves confused about how this world operates. Roth and credited co-screenwriter Joe Crombie fail to effectively synthesize the game's lore and the characters' individual histories in a way that can entice the uninitiated. The plot is set in motion when Atlas, played by Edgar Ramirez, a stock power-hungry villain with plenty of high-tech weapon, hires ruthless Lilith to track down bunny ears-wearing teenage daughter Tina, played by Ariana Greenblatt, in Pandora, a complete and wasteland devoid of any color or personality. Atlas believes the lab-created Tina is the chosen one to open the portal and unleash the wisdom. When Lilith, originally from Pandora, reaches the girl without much trouble, Tina already has a pair of guardians, including the gas mask brute Krieg, played by Florian Muntinow. Among the underwritten characters protecting Rita, all of them with as much depth as a puddle of muddy water after a middling sprinkle, Kevin Hart, soldier Roland, and Jamie Lee Curtis, scientist Tannis, are the most surprising for how forgettable they are. pluck them from the narrative, and it'd be difficult to pinpoint why they were there at all. Meanwhile, Greenblatt's playfully mischievous demeanor, as Tina often reads, as overacting, since the production of Borderlands experienced numerous setbacks that caused major delays. It's possible these four scenes were shot long before the young actor appeared as a moody adolescent in Greta Gerwig's Barbie. Throughout it all, as if battling to emerge from quicksand, Blanchett commits to Lilith's fierce nonchalance and testament to her regal magnetism. She escapes mostly intact, even though Kate Blanchett has already come out saying that the reason why she took the role was COVID and, quote, it affected my brain. Ooh. Light years away from being so bad that it's good, Borderlands lacks a distinct visual aesthetic, even if the costume designing and hairdressing teams seem to have tried to stay as faithful to the source material as possible. They are holographic masks, giant monsters, and a wasteland that looks like a discarded set from the Mad Max universe. But cohesiveness is elusive, given our ignorance about why these elements exist and what their purpose is. As far as the action goes, repetitive. Repetitive shootouts never inspire much of a thrill, but rather call attention to their length and inability to reach a compelling climax. Near the end of the ordeal, the camera pans slowly to capture the faces of each character after they had completed their mission with a "we did it" attitude that is shamefully unearned. That self-congratulatory cinematic gesture almost feels insulting when it's the audience who deserves a reassuring pat on the back. They're not always this bad.
We've covered the trailers and everything leading up to this release over on Bandwagon Nerds, and I'm not really overexcited about like video game adaptations and things of that nature. But a lot of the guys were looking forward to this, especially with the cast attached. You know, you would think that this would be better, but I Rotten Tomatoes, audience score 52%. Tomato meter, 9%.
Here's another one. This is just a little quip. But come back, Madam Web. All is forgiven.
Dave, I want you to go see this movie just so you can tell me which one's worse, this or Morbius.
I saw Madam Web.
That's worse?
I think that was worse.
Okay, all right.
Now, I also went and saw Madam Web in the ultra wide screen, you know, the one that gets like thrown up on the sidewall.
Yeah, Screen X.
Yeah, that's it. And I'll tell you right now, that movie sucked so much ass. I only wanted to go see Screen X. That's the entire reason why I saw that movie. I was like, it can't be that bad. Oh, I'm dumb, and an idiot for thinking that you know, anything in the Venom verse was going to be good. My bad. But sorry, off topic. Apparently, Borderlands is worse.
What can you do? People make bad movies, right?
Related link, it is a link to an article of Hollywood on tour with the Taliban, based on my review of reading this article. So, wow.
Yeah, I'm not really into reading movie reviews unless they're one star, to be honest with you. This is one of my funnest segments on the show.
Yeah. Oh my God, I wish I would have read this one. This is great. also Blanchett also did give a quote about the movie saying, "I'm getting too old for this shit."
Shout out to Danny Glover.
Nice.
Do you know how old Danny Glover was when he said that in the first Lethal Weapon?
40?
Yeah, 41.
Nice.
Oh, that's great. Do you you got one more story to close us out?
Yeah, absolutely. I have a wonderful one. Disney is seeking a dismissal of a Raglan Road death lawsuit because victim was a Disney Plus subscriber. Disney has asked a Florida court to dismiss a wrongful death lawsuit filed earlier this year regarding a woman who passed away due to anaphylaxis after a meal at Disney Springs, citing an arbitration waiver in the terms and conditions of Disney Plus. According to Newsday, Disney has asked the Florida court to dismiss this wrongful death lawsuit filed by Jeffrey Piccolo, husband of Keno Porn Tang Suan, a doctor at the NYU Langone in New York City, who passed away after eating a meal at Raglan Road Irish Pub in Disney Springs in October of 2023. Tang Suan had severe dairy and nut allergy and informed the wait staff at the restaurant of her dietary needs and was unequivocally assured that they could be accommodated. Well, she ordered and ate the Sure I'm Frittered vegetarian broccoli and corn fritters, the Scallop Forest Sea Scallops appetizer, and the This Shepherd Went Vegan entree and a side of onion rings. After their meal, Piccolo returned to their hotel room, and Tang Suan and her mother-in-law continued to shop at Disney Springs later that evening. Tang Suan had an acute allergic reaction in Planet Hollywood, self-administered an EpiPen, and was transported to a local hospital, unfortunately where she later died. In the latest update for the Disney Springs wrongful death lawsuit, Disney cited legal language within the terms and conditions for its Disney Plus, which requires users to arbitrate all disputes with the company, Disney claims. Piccolo reportedly agreed to this in 2019 when signing up for a one-month free trial of the streaming service on his PlayStation console. In the May 31 motion filed to move the wrongful death lawsuit to arbitration, Disney attorneys said that the Disney Plus subscriber agreement states that any dispute, except for small claims, must be resolved by individual binding arbitration. Disney says that similar language was agreed to by Piccolo when he used the My Disney Experience app to purchase tickets to visit Epcot at Walt Disney in September of 2023. Tang Suan died before she and Piccolo could use those tickets, however. Whether Piccolo actually reviewed the Disney terms is also immaterial, the motion says. Arbitration is defined by that legal information, blah, 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 blah. It just goes into more. Yeah, so people, be prepared. Disney can just kill you if you have Disney Plus.
I have Disney Plus, Dave. I'm kind of scared.
That, there is no way that fucking goes through.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
just saying, there's no fucking way. And if it does...
Oh, then there's... That's,
oh, we're going to have some problems.
I think an extremely low-level court will throw this out, considering its terms and conditions for things that are completely unaffiliated.
For Disney Plus!
Yeah, I know. I know. It's ridiculous.
But they're also citing the Epcot tickets, which they never used. But this has been the one time I will ever tell people, read the terms and conditions, I guess.
Yeah,
holy shit. That is one of the craziest stories I have ever heard. If that's true. If that's true, and if it actually, like, if they want to follow through with this, holy God, we're in trouble.
Well, I mean, what do you call 100 dead lawyers at the bottom of a ravine? A good start.
Disney has way more than 100.
I know. It's just sad, though, that like it comes to this where they can actually try and make this happen. You know, people with enough money, with enough talent in the courtroom. But I honestly feel like a very low-level court's going to just be like, sorry, that shit doesn't fly.
Yeah, I concur. There's no way. But we'll see when this gets resolved. At the same time, that man attempts and fails at swimming across Lake Michigan again.
That's about the length of the process of the jiu-jitsu system in the United States. So I think you're pretty close and accurate there. Before we go, I got one quick announcement pertaining to Chairshot Radio Network. Andrew Belaz and myself, and maybe a few other rotating guests when they have time. We'll be back on August 28th. Chairshot NFL returns. Just letting everybody know.
Yeah. Da, da, da. Yeah. And I'll give you a little bit of an update as well. Might as well, because I literally just spoke to him today. Down the Wire will be coming back sometime in the near future as Tom Wirtz ends up coming back to Wisconsin. I can't share why he's coming back to Wisconsin yet, because that's not been released, but it's good news for him. So, yeah, we'll be doing Down the Wire as well in the near future.
There you go, folks. Make sure you're checking out everything Chairshot Radio Network, whether it's odd news right here on The Oddity, sports with Down the Wire at Chairshot NFL, and Front and Center Podcast with Ray and Carl. And you know we got tons of wrestling and, of course, the Bandwagon Nerd Crew.
On behalf of PC Tunney, I'm Dave Wirtz, and as always, folks, keep that news ridiculous. This has been The Oddity. Have a great rest of your week.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. What are your self-care non-negotiables? It's hard to make time for the things that keep you healthy, but being consistent with self-care is like working a muscle. And when life gets crazy, that muscle keeps you strong. Therapy is the ultimate self-care, and BetterHelp makes it easy to get started with affordable online sessions you can do from anywhere. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com today to get 10% off your first month.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.